I will not allow myself to be so absorbed in the whirlwind of work as to forget about God.
That's good. Who said that?
Saint Faustina.
I like. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian, here with a man who gets paid a dollar by Apple every time he downloads a song.
I'm Ramon.
They keep getting better and better. Just like you, Ramon. And yes, you are. Today, we continue the series titled Sorry, Not Sorry, with an episode titled
Capable.
Our scripture today comes from
the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 10. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers.
Delicious.
Let's get this podcast on the road. Last time we were talking about aligning our will to God's. And today, the title points to us having to do something to make us to be capable. You know, it's really important for us to continuously feed our minds and feed our souls with spiritual exercises and also things that will enlighten our minds so that we may be able to support our will in carrying out the mission that God gave us. But I feel like we stop there a lot of the times, and maybe it's because we're fat and lazy as people. You know, and I don't just mean like us chubby people. I mean like people in general have a certain attitude, because we're talking about being capable, and sometimes we kind of self-sabotage when it comes. I like that word, even though I don't know how to pronounce it, sabotage. But we do that to ourselves when it comes to our capabilities to doing stuff. You know, I find that I fail in some instances. You know, like when it comes to cutting the grass, I'm not that. Well, I'm capable. I just don't do it, you know? And so I found that I'd rather pay a gardener to cut the grass than do it myself. But when it comes to doing my breaks, like, I'm all for it. I want to do it. I learned how to do it and I do it. I get after it. I made myself capable, aligned that with my will and my availability. And I do my own oil changes. I do my own brake pad changes, you know, like that stuff happens. We're kind of selective when it comes to that stuff. And I noticed that most men will not really get it after being physically fit, you know, and myself included. You know, I've been working at making myself a little bit more fit, but I noticed that for the longest time I wasn't, you know, and I've been losing weight little by little, but I feel like it's something that we ignore. And it's something that no one really wants to talk about, because I don't know, the culture that we live in is all about not body shaming or whatever, but it has nothing to do with shaming anyone. And it has everything to do with protecting our family. And the quote that you read was just so perfect for this, because why don't you read that one again for us? Because I feel like if I try to re-quote it, my memory is going to fail me and I'm not going to be able to say it right. And it was by Saint Faustina, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. It was Saint Faustina. I will not allow myself to be so absorbed in the whirlwind of work as to forget about God.
Boom. And that's the thing, you know, and sometimes we get so caught up in just doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff, or doing stuff for the sake of saying, hey, look at me, I can do this, or I can do this activity that's considered manly or whatever. And then it loses all its purpose, because the purpose of being capable of doing something, it's not just to look good or to look prepared or to, well, whatever, you know, forget the whole idea about looking a certain way and always go for the why. Like, why is it that you do that to begin with? You know, do I know how to do brakes because it looks manly? Do I change my oil because my neighbors are going to look at me laying down in my driveway doing stuff under the hood of the car? Honestly, like, the purpose needs to be for the well-being of our family. You know, it's if not for our budget, you know, so that we can drive a safe and dependable car, you know, and so then it takes on a different meaning. And then it's not just worth doing, but it's worth doing right. Because those who we love and are being tasked with protecting and providing for, because they need it. Oh, that's the whole purpose. And it's all going back to that same thing that we talk about when we talk about our purpose, our why. It's that God demands it, our family deserves it, and the world is starving for it. No, that's the reason why we need to be capable. Because we can want to do God's will all we want. We can be as available as we want, but if we can't do it, we can't do it.
I think we need to find what our purpose is and maybe not have all that figured out, but knowing when and where to take that first step, then keep taking the next step and the next step and the next step. And that's why prayer is so important, because God will show you exactly where He wants you to go, even if you don't realize it. God will show you exactly. I think it's in the book of Matthew where He said, you know, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened, and so on and so forth. You know, you're not just becoming capable just because, you know, you were talking about being physically fit, but for what? And you do have a what? To physically protect your family if need be. God forbid you need to do that, but if need be, you will be able to. Or at least hold him off until the police gets there, you know, something. Yeah. And I heard this somewhere recently, like in the last month, maybe, like, and it just stuck with me. This would be more fitting for a father, but I'm still kind of, well, not that much anymore, because I don't really see James anymore. James is my nephew, for those of you that don't know. He's 6 years old now. And I don't really see him that much anymore. Everything's cool in the family, but I just don't see him that much anymore. You know, putting your child down and never picking him up again. You know, when you get to that point, I still pick him up, and he's not my kid, but because he's still little.
Yeah.
But it comes that age where, you know, where you put him down and you never pick him up again. And that's so powerful, because I don't know. I don't really like talking about like the way that things should be, but I kind of do. because in a sense, you're teaching your boy how to be self-reliant. And why are you teaching him to be self-reliant? So that he's a capable young man. That's the foundation. It's like a little unspoken agreement where you're like, you're too big to be picked up. This is where your training starts to become a man. And yeah, he may be 9, 8, 9, 10, but this is the time where he's going to start developing that part of his brain that's always going to stay that way, where he's going to see his dad changing the oil, changing the brakes, cutting the grass, loving his mom. I mean, you name it. And it all starts at home, and it all starts with your example. And yeah, even if you don't have kids, man, you just think about stuff like that in your life where you finally start taking those steps in the right direction. And when you start living your faith, I think we actually talked about this last week, you know, part of the, that I love the audio recording you put at the end for that little, with that Optimus Prime, that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he said, have the strength to be kind.
To be gentle. Right?
To be gentle. There you go. Have the strength to be gentle. And I don't think I have to explain what I mean by gentle, what he meant by gentle, because you're not going to be all soft about it. You're just going to be a loving, kind, strong, freaking stud, man. Mm-hmm. It's like a solid priest, you know, like a tough priest that's just very loving.
Yep.
Strong, loving father. I think what makes people grow more fond of God is when they see that reflection of God in other human beings and other men. You know, when you make people feel heard, you make them feel important, because they are, because we all are.
It brings other thoughts to mind, you know. Now, I don't know, it feels like it's taken a while, you know. Like, I'm always talking about going from private to public school, you know, from Catholic school to public school, and how it's been a struggle, you know, just adjusting to not praying, or the age difference, you know, between high school and middle school. But I feel like I'm breaking a little bit more ground now with the students because they see that I care. You know, they're starting to see that a lot more. You know, whereas before it was like one thing to kind of suspect the fact that the teacher cares or hear him say it or whatever, but to actually see it. You know, and I'm trying my utmost to make them feel valuable, to make them feel important, you know, like they matter. Like they matter. And I see their face of surprise every time. Cause I don't know if people out there know a lot of parents, but I don't mean just like the people in your community or the people that think like you, you know, the like-minded ones, but parents in general, you know, and a lot of the times it seems like, and I'm tempted, I feel the temptation to do this, to just give the children a device and let that babysit them for the rest of the day. You know, because you're tired or you need to do a bunch of stuff or whatever, you know, it's like, it's really tempting to do that. But I feel like there's a lot of parents that just did that one day and then another, and then it became the norm. And anytime that they try to get their, that the kids try to get the parents' attention, they get shooed away. And when they come into my classroom, I try to make it that even if I'm busy handling one of the other 30 kids that are there, you know, answering a question, I tell them, hey, hold on a minute, I'll be right there. Or when they show up and I notice something, like there was this one kid that always shows up like with bags under his eyes because he loves video games and he doesn't go to sleep till 2. And he showed up and I'm like, hey, you got some sleep tonight. That's good. He's like, what? How did you know? You don't have bags under your eyes. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, it's good, right? Like, yeah. And that was it. You know, it was a short little moment just when I was greeting the students at the door, just to let them know, hey, you're here. I'm glad you're here. I notice you. Thank you for being here. Get in there. I have the activity for them to do on the board already, the warm-up activity and whatnot. Like, it's good. You know, or when they, even if it's just like noticing like, hey, you're cursed or something like that, you know, like if it's something negative or if it's something positive, like I tell them, and sometimes I even stop what I'm doing and I tell them, you don't realize how important you are. They just get taken back. It's kind of cool, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of sad that they don't hear it more often. And we need to be, and this goes back to everything that we're talking about. I mean, it feels like it's a summary of the series already, just because it's more than just being capable, you know, it's more than just having the capability of doing something, but it's actually putting it into practice. And yeah, this is not going to be an episode of us saying, yeah, you need to learn how to fight so you can defend your family. No, you pray to God that you don't have to, but if you have to, then you have to, you know? And here's the thing, like, even if you're the most bad hombre out there, you know, if you have, I don't know how many degrees are possible in a black belt in any discipline of martial arts, but if you have all of them, let's just say, you know, you can still be taken out by a coward with a gun. That doesn't mean you don't do it. That doesn't mean you go out there and you don't make yourself capable of defending your family. It just means that you are aware and that you are ready to defend, even if it comes at the cost of your life. And it's not always going to happen. That's going to be a very rare case when someone is going to have to do that. But how about the little things? You know, how about noticing your kids? How about taking an interest in what your kids are into? You know, I don't give a crud about anime, but my 11-year-old, thank God she doesn't like K-pop right now. I don't know. I don't think I can handle that stuff. But she enjoys drawing like anime style drawings, and she does a pretty good job. And she's been getting into animation, and she shows me her work, and I'm like, dude, yes, I delight in your work. You know, and we all have the capability of showing interest in the beloved. And I don't know, I guess it just speaks so much to who we are, especially when you said, you know, that part that Peter, I can't remember his last name, but Optimus Prime, when his brother, I guess, said, have the strength to be gentle. You know, it's not just about being hard charging. It's about having that capability, but being gentle. even though you have that capability for violence. You know, that's what being a gentleman is. And it's kind of funny, you know, the way we look at it when it comes to language. In Spanish, gentleman is caballero. And it sounds like the word caballo, which is horse. And whenever we're talking about that strength, you know, a horse is very strong, but you put a harness on the horse and you put that horse's strength at the service of others. And I feel like we say this all the time, but it's something that's necessary and it's something that people need to hear because we don't see it all the time. And it's a good point of reference for us to use whenever we're trying to live out our faith, that yes, you're strong. God made you stronger for a reason. No, God made us this way. He gave us the capability for violence. He gave us the brute force, the strength, the whatever gift you've been given. And I know not all men are built the same, but every single one of us has a gift. Every single one of us has a strength. And we're always supposed to be using that to build the kingdom of God and to lead others to heaven. But once again, like we said with the willing thing, like it's not enough to be willing. We have to be able. And it's not enough to be able. We need to be available. And that's going to be the next episode. And we'll get a little bit more into that as we close out the series.
I was talking to our sister this past weekend, and I think you saw kind of what happened with with our siblings. They had like a little altercation.
Oh yeah.
And I built a pretty good rapport with my sister, and you know, not to get into details or to make this story longer than it should be. Mm-hmm. I was just telling her that we all think we're so mature, but when it comes time to actually pull the trigger on that, it gets so difficult, and sometimes we don't even do it. And so I gave her an example of how how dealing with those uncomfortable situations and choosing to do the mature thing, how that trains us and makes us more capable to be kind, even in those uncomfortable situations. So I went on to this little example. And that's James's mom, by the way, my sister. I picked him up. And this is before we even started talking about this with her. And then I just threw him up in the air, and he's getting heavier now. You know, he's like 40 pounds, maybe something like that. And that's what kind of triggered that thought that I was, that I shared with you guys, the whole, you know, it's going to come to a point where I'm just going to put him down for the last time. And I still maybe have like two more years of, you know, being able to pick him up. Anyway, I told him, hey, you want to fly? He's like, yeah, he's a crazy kid. So I threw him really high up in the air, and he was just, oh my goodness, it was just joy, and he was just dissolving in laughter, and it was beautiful to see him like that. And I told her, you know, all the stuff that I've been kind of going through in the academy, you know, logging around a huge bag and all kinds of stuff up and down hills, all that plus the training. And, yeah, you know, all the exercising I do outside of, you know, on my own time, and it gets uncomfortable and all that, you know, all of that discomfort allows me to have the necessary strength, physical strength to pick up that 40 plus pound piece of flesh that I call my nephew, throw him up in the air, and to make him just feel this joy in his heart. And that just echoes all over the house, and it's so contagious. And yes, I'm getting super corny, but his beautiful laugh just gives me so much life. And same thing with my mom and my sister. They were just so happy to see him just filled with joy. And like I said, it's contagious. And I was telling my sister this, like, dude, like, I wouldn't be able to throw him up in the air if it wasn't for all the difficult stuff that I had been doing. that I'm still doing, that I'm not going to stop doing until God decides to slow me down. Because it's not about how tough I think I am, because I can do this and I can do that. It's about the how I implement this strength. Because all this, and no, I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but you know, I work to not be weak, to put that strength to the service of others. All this gives me the strength to better serve my family. Like I said, that joy is contagious. And we were all pretty much dissolving in laughter, just watching him being happy. And that's just such a big blessing. It's those little difficult moments that if we're willing to endure it, we're going to be capable of enduring so much more so that we can better serve our family and our communities and our God.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes talk crud about people that have no business going to Disneyland and whatnot, and sometimes I think about, you know, the dog moms or the dog dads or whatever they, you know, they call themselves. Like, I think that's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But one time I just started watching dog videos on Instagram, all the dog posts and whatnot. And man, those freaking things are so awesome. I love dogs. I love them. I need to get one or two. I think I'll get two. But I can see why, you know, people value animals so much. You know, it comes from a place of cowardness sometimes, that people, instead of committing to another human being, and especially to God, and, you know, instead of doing that and create a new life, how they mainly just commit to an animal, especially because they're so beautiful and they're so loyal and they do such cool things, you know, so beautiful things. You know, but they, man, if they only knew, you know, what you just spoke about, you know, if they only saw that, like that right there, you know, as good and awesome as animals are, like, it doesn't compare to a child, you know, and to see the effect that you can have on a kid. And it's just, it's one of those things that just kind of reminds me of something. I've been thinking about the movie The Lord of the Rings. Oh. Well, the original trilogy, not any of the other ones. And the other ones are good, probably. I don't know. I haven't seen much, but I know that the first three movies, you know, that came out in the, I think it was the mid-2000s, those were freaking awesome. And I remember one quote by Sam, that's Frodo's companion. It's a very simple quote. It's gone all over the internet, and it's really simple. He just says, "There's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for." You know, when you think about those times where you have a kid in front of you and you're helping them be happy. You know, when you see that smile and that laughter and it's just the best. You know, you think about those things and it's definitely something that's worth fighting for. But you can't fight for it if you can't fight for it. And as dumb and simple as it may seem, like, it doesn't take away its truth. You know, that if we're not making ourselves capable to defend that, evil will win every time. We need to sharpen our minds. Yes, we do need to sharpen our intellect. We need to sharpen our hearts and guard them so that we may not fall for the first thing that comes in front of us. You know, we need to guard our hearts and guard the hearts of those that are under our care. And we need to follow God's will, because we can't trust ourselves. You know, time and time again, we've proven to ourselves that we are not worthy. And that's okay, because God is not fair. I don't remember who said this, but what would be of us if he were? So to the best of our abilities, we're going to try to become capable, because God will fill in the blank. You know, God will help us out wherever we're not strong. Why? Because there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. Just be ready, because stuff can and will go wrong. You can and will fail. And as Ramon has said, what was it? No man is above stupid. And no man is above evil.
It's so easy to deviate from what we ought to do.
Especially because of what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not always be for our best.
Yeah, that's very rare with me. That's how I gotta stay focused, man.
Yeah.
Cause I sound all good and awesome and like such a great example here on the podcast, but yeah, I'm still human. Yeah. And that's why I really appreciate this community. Praying for each other.
So continue to pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferrum.
Aquitur.
Kind of long, huh?
A little bit, but you know what? It's all right. I think we started recording at 7:31. And so with the little edits and whatnot, it's going to be less than 30 minutes. But yeah,
it's nice.
It did go pretty long. It's good.
It's nice.
It's nice.